This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
Welcome, and thanks for joining us for this episode of Constructing Change, a podcast of the Lynn Williams Activist Toolkit. I'm Megan Stacey, and I'll be your host today. We want you to be a part of this and other important conversations, so head on over to rabble.ca/toolkit. That's where you'll find the Activist Toolkit full of resources for activists. You can edit some of the tools up on the toolkit, you can suggest resources for activists, or even make your own. Today, we're talking about rape culture, what it is, where we find it, and what to do about it. I talked to a number of women who are experiencing the effects of rape culture every day, but they're also doing something about it. First up, we're going to talk about what rape culture really means. And we're going to hear from Tara Henderson, who does public education for the Ottawa Rape Crisis Center.
Rape culture is a collected attitude, set of values in our community that make women often the subject of scrutiny or blame for sexual violence or their reputation related to experiencing sexual violence. Often it relates to also sexual harassment and a permissive culture that allows women to be objectified without any pushback from institutions or laws, that it's almost accepted for women to be approached sexually, aggressively, or talked about in a way that is more about their sexuality than the substance of their character or their personality. So the term rape culture seems to upset a lot of people, that this is some kind of agenda or propaganda, or it's about man-hating. And I really want to challenge that, because I think it's a term that has come about because of dynamics that are so difficult to discuss, but so pervasive in our community, that we really need to look at how this happens and what are the ways we can unpack that and maybe help as a community address it, because we're all part of making it less acceptable to shame people, blame them for violence, or perhaps be very permissive about sexualizing people that aren't interested in being sexualized by whomever. I think it's about what we choose to do and consent and choice. I think women should feel very free to express sexuality or not. But allowing each woman to do that and creating a community where we're safe to feel that sexuality and expression and healing from violence are all things we could share without necessarily experiencing judgment, reputational damage, shame, blaming, and ridicule. That has really, I think, created the need for a term. But I see the term being attacked, and I just think it's really important that we look at why would we need to make that a thing. It's because we need to be able to talk about it. So hopefully people look at what's involved in that and how they could maybe make steps in their own community to challenge it.
To me, rape culture means, I guess, any environment where women feel objectified or that they're joked about sexually. I mean, some people would argue that when they make a joke about sexual joke about women, that it's just all in fun or it's a joke. But it's really not a joke. A lot of the times these things aren't funny. So I think that just the normalization of things like that, of joking about women or of catcalling women or just objectifying them sexually, a lot of the times that's taken as a joke, and it's really not.
Honestly, I hear so much about it, especially in university and with all of my friends, and I truly don't really understand the meaning behind it. I don't understand if it's something that people are speaking about now, if it's always been around, if it's just the music that we're listening to.
The music we listen to. It's so important in this discussion of rape culture because it's one way of developing norms and normalizing ideas like objectification of women. During their Sexual Assault Awareness Week, Carleton University ran a workshop unpacking lyrics to popular songs and talking about whether some of our music is rapey and contributing to rape culture. Next, you're going to hear from a number of audience members who were at this workshop to hear what they think about Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines.
The biggest idea that's been challenged was that people like Robin Thicke, because I just think he's such a douche. Like, he just, that people are like, oh, he's so good with his wife. And like, it's like, who cares what they do in their private life when you're producing this kind of like shitty music? Because, and also people are like, oh, it's such a catchy song, but like, he has been successfully sued by Marvin Gaye's family for ripping off the tune from the Marvin Gaye song in the 70s. So like, meh.
Because I work with survivors and part of my work is individual counseling, I see what happens to people, and anything that to me even immediately resonates as being a factor in rape culture or something that is damaging to survivors, immediately I respond to that and really negatively.
That was Carolyn Johnston, Director of Sexual Support Services at Carleton University, as well as other audience members who attended the Rapey Lyrics Workshop. Of course, it's not only lyrics and music that support rape culture. There are so many subtle ways that society contributes to an environment of fear and shame for women. Next, you're going to hear from a young woman I spoke to while she was out celebrating International Women's Day. She spoke about her thoughts on how pervasive rape culture really is, those moments of fear that many women feel on a daily basis, and the impact that has on both women and men.
I think it's sad that when girls and women are outside at night, that we feel scared to be outside at night, that we feel nervous. And I feel badly almost myself just because, like, the other night I was walking at night to get to my friend's house, and this boy, probably around the same age as I am, was running, and I knew he was running for the bus, and I could see him running towards me, but towards the bus stop behind me. And in my head, I knew that that's what it was, but I had still moved out of the way and was still nervous, and I kind of got this moment of fear inside of me. And then as soon as he passes and of course went to the bus stop that I knew was behind me, I feel almost embarrassed, and I feel badly for that man as well, because what did he ever do? He didn't ever do anything to make me feel that way.
Men are a big part of solving this issue, and I think creating communities where we can engage men in discourse about consent, healthy relationships, gender roles, power and privilege, and how we share those things or how they are shaping our lives without perhaps us even sometimes being aware of it. I think that there is a very strong role for men in preventing sexual violence and in supporting each other in creating a community that won't support it. I've been very honored to be in a few male classrooms where we get to talk about gender roles and talk about power. And one of the things that we do talk quite a bit about is chirping and insults, because a lot of that is gender framed. So often in the locker room, or even, you know, from a very young age, being called anything related to a woman or a woman's body parts or a woman's personality is one of the biggest insults that you could be levied, that could be levied against you. And so I think that talking about that openly and asking them what they think about that, and asking to look at gender roles and power and how maybe we could be supporting each other to all have a healthier community and challenge some of these issues rather than feeling like we'll call negative attention to ourselves if we challenge it. So I think trying to share those great examples of when it was challenged and when it actually created shifts within groups of people is one of the best things I can do with young men around the issue of sexual violence.
The voices you were hearing from were women out celebrating International Women's Day at events in their community. And the latter voice was Tara Henderson, who does public education for the Ottawa Rape Crisis Center. I think it's really important to have these discussions about rape culture and talk about what we can do to stop it where we live. I really want to hear your thoughts, so definitely think about checking out the Activist Toolkit at rabble.ca/toolkit. There are lots of resources to contribute to this discussion on rape culture. There are tips for helping survivors, supporting a friend who maybe has experienced sexual assault, and there are a ton of resources to help you launch a campaign, whether that's online, in your community, maybe starting a rally or a protest. So definitely check it out and consider adding a tool to our toolkit as well. This has been Constructing Change, which is a podcast of the Lynn Williams Activist Toolkit. I'm Megan Stacey, and thanks so much for joining me today for this discussion on rape culture.
Will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater, and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance.
The biggest idea that's been challenged was that people like Robin Thicke, because I just think he's such a douche. Like, he just, that people are like, oh, he's so good with his wife, and like, it's like, who cares what they do in their private life when you're producing this kind of, like, shitty music? Because, and also, people are like, oh, it's such a catchy song, but like, he has been successfully sued by Marvin Gaye's family for ripping off the tune from the Marvin Gaye song in the 70s, so like, meh.
Because I work with survivors and part of my work is individual counseling, I see what happens to people, and anything that to me even immediately resonates as being a factor in rape culture or something that is damaging to survivors, I immediately respond to that and really negatively.
That was Carolyn Johnston, Director of Sexual Support Services at Carleton University, as well as other audience members who attended the Rapey Lyrics workshop. Of course, it's not only lyrics and music that support rape culture. There are so many subtle ways that society contributes to an environment of fear and shame for women. Next, you're going to hear from a young woman I spoke to while she was out celebrating International Women's Day. She spoke about her thoughts on how pervasive rape culture really is, those moments of fear that many women feel on a daily basis, and the impact that has on both women and men.
I think it's sad that when girls and women are outside at night, that we feel scared to be outside at night, that we feel nervous. And I feel badly almost myself, just because, like, the other night, I was walking at night to get to my friend's house, and this boy, probably around the same age as I am, was running, and I knew he was running for the bus, and I could see him running towards me, but towards the bus stop behind me. And in my head, I knew that that's what it was, but I had still moved out of the way and was still nervous, and I kind of got this moment of fear inside of me. And then as soon as he passes and, of course, went to the bus stop that I knew was behind me, I feel almost embarrassed, and I feel badly for that man as well, because what did he ever do? He didn't ever do anything to make me feel that way.
Men are a big part of solving this issue, and I think creating communities where we can engage men in discourse about consent, healthy relationships, gender roles, power and privilege, and how we share those things or how they are shaping our lives without perhaps us even sometimes being aware of it. I think that there is a very strong role for men in preventing sexual violence and in supporting each other in creating a community that won't support it. I've been very honored to be in a few male classrooms where we get to talk about gender roles and talk about power. And one of the things that we do talk quite a bit about is chirping and insults, because a lot of that is gender framed. So often in the locker room, or even, you know, from a very young age, being called anything related to a woman or a woman's body parts or a woman's personality is one of the biggest insults that you could be levied, that could be levied against you. And so I think that talking about that openly and asking them what they think about that, and asking to look at gender roles and power and how maybe we could be supporting each other to all have a healthier community and challenge some of these issues, rather than feeling like we'll call negative attention to ourselves if we challenge it. So I think trying to share those great examples of when it was challenged and when it actually created shifts within groups of people is one of the best things I can do with young men around the issue of sexual violence.
The voices you were hearing from were women out celebrating International Women's Day at events in their community. And the latter voice was Tara Henderson, who does public education for the Ottawa Rape Crisis Center. I think it's really important to have these discussions about rape culture and talk about what we can do to stop it where we live. I really want to hear your thoughts, so definitely think about checking out the Activist Toolkit at rabble.ca/toolkit. There are lots of resources to contribute to this discussion on rape culture. There are tips for helping survivors, supporting a friend who maybe has experienced sexual assault. And there are a ton of resources to help you launch a campaign, whether that's online, in your community, maybe starting a rally or a protest. So definitely check it out and consider adding a tool to our toolkit as well. This has been Constructing Change, which is a podcast of the Lynn Williams Activist Toolkit. I'm Megan Stacey, and thanks so much for joining me today for this discussion on rape culture.
Will not be brought to you by the Shape of a War Theater, and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able